إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers, yesterday I had to go to the passport office for the renewal of my passport. And I was reflecting and thinking to myself about how important for me at that moment was the passport officer. The passport officer is by no means the senior most or the most powerful of the government officers in the country. There are many who are much senior to him and much more powerful to him. But for me, yesterday at that moment, the most powerful, the most important officer in the entire government of India was the regional passport officer of Hyderabad. So, lesson I learned for myself was that importance is directly proportional to perceived need. It's not the rank of the person, it is not their wealth or power or authority, but my perceived need. Just to give you an example, if you are traveling to, say, America, and you land in New York, the most important American for you at that point, when you land in New York, is the immigration officer who has to stamp your entry in your passport. Now, you know and I know that the Secretary of the State of the United States is more powerful and has more authority than the immigration officer. You know that the President of America has even more authority than that. But neither the Secretary of the State nor the President of America will even cross our mind at that point in time. Makes no difference. The most important person is that fellow sitting there across the counter. If he stamps my passport, I gain entry. If he tells me, sorry, go back, I have to go back. So the importance of somebody has nothing to do with their actual rank or whatever. It has to do with how important is that person to me right now, meaning how much do I need that person. And that's why I said importance is proportionate to perceived need, to your own need. And of course, I can give you many other examples, but that is not required. The reason I'm saying this is because when I was sitting in the passport office yesterday, the thought to myself was, how important is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me? Because yesterday, alhamdulillah, everything went off very smoothly. But if that passport officer had made me wait in that office for 6 hours, I would have waited. If he had made me wait in a place where there was no chair to sit, I would have stood. Or I would have sat on the floor. Yes, it's not only me, you would have done the same thing. If you wanted to get your passport, and for that reason, if you had to stand in that passport office, you know, for 6 hours or 8 hours, what will you do? You will stand. Simple choice. You want your passport or you don't want your passport. So therefore, the other issue is that importance of somebody is related to how much I need them. And depending on how much I need them, I am willing to obey them no matter what that obedience entails. No matter how inconvenient and painful it might be to obey that person, we will still obey them. We have no choice. We will still obey them. We see this happening in Jeddah, for example. If you land, especially during Ramadan or something where there are a lot of flights, and you know the behavior of the immigration officers is not the best example of Islamic manners. They make you wait, they chit-chat, they walk around here and there, they come back, they go back, they treat you with absolute disdain and contempt. But what do? You shut your mouth and you stand there quietly. You can grumble all you want after you leave the airport, but at that particular point of time in the line, you shut your mouth and you stand quietly. Why? Because this guy is so important. So no matter what he says or does, I will obey him. And I'm giving you examples where we obey people and we put up with unreasonable behavior only because that individual is so important to me. My question to myself is, how important is Allah? And subhanAllah, even though every breath we take, we owe to Allah. But Allah never asks us to do anything which is unreasonable. Allah never asks us to do something which is humiliating. Allah never asks us to do something which is painful for us. Eh? All the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are beautiful, they are convenient, they are honorable, they are dignified. Allah did not say, worship me in the morning by standing on one leg in a river with water flowing up to your neck. Eh? Did Allah say that? But if Allah had decreed this to be a way of worship, what would you do? You do, you have to worship. If you don't worship, then you are going to be in the fire. There are people, I mean, this country, we know so many of our Hindu friends who go to this temple and that temple, and there are various rituals that they have to complete before they can actually go and worship in that temple. Yeah, people who go to Sabarimala, for example, for 40 days before that, they have to eat food which is not cooked by a woman, so they cannot eat at home if their wives are cooking. They have to walk barefoot. So they go to office barefoot, they walk barefoot, they walk, you know, at home they walk barefoot. They have to wear those black clothes. They have to wake up in the night and have a cold water bath at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the night, and then they have to do various kinds of pujas. In Hyderabad, it might not sound like such a great thing to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have a cold water bath because it's a hot place, especially at this time of the year. But I know people, when I used to live in the tea gardens, one of my servants, in the tea gardens in Ooty in winter, he would get up at 3 in the night, and he would have a cold water bath. He would be shivering for an hour after that. He would be literally shivering. He couldn't talk. But he would, every day, he would get up and he would have this cold water bath at that time of the night. And then he would do whatever puja he had to do because he has to go to Sabarimala. And then they walk from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. How much of inconvenience, how much of pain, how much of suffering. But they do it because they are worshipping the God which they consider to be worshipping something which they are calling God and which they think will benefit them or protect them from harm. My question is, for us it's not a matter of thinking. We know for a fact that the only one worthy of worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who can benefit or who can harm is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Allah, to worship Him, we don't have to do any of this. To worship Him, we can get up peacefully before the time of Fajr. Alhamdulillah, if Allah gives tawfiq and we make tahajjud, that's the best thing. But even if you don't do that, you wake up before Fajr, if it is cold, you make wudu in warm water, no problem, alhamdulillah. If it is hot, you come to a masjid which is air-conditioned, alhamdulillah. Still, how many of us do that? Because the bottom line is this, how important is Allah to me? How important is Allah to you? I know every Muslim will say Allah is very important, but that's not the question of whether we say it or not. As I said, the reason I gave these examples, it's not a matter of your saying. If Allah is important, then that is visible in the behavior. When we consider somebody to be important, then our behavior shows that. We don't have to say it, nobody has to ask this question. The behavior shows it. Therefore, question to myself, which I ask myself, and I request you to ask yourself is, what does our behavior show? If there was somebody watching us from the outside, and if that person says, let me see from the behavior of this person how important Allah is to him. Imagine. Supposing, for example, if a non-Muslim is watching us, And this non-Muslim says to himself, I will see how important Allah is to this Muslim, and depending on that, I will enter Islam. What do you think that person will do? Will that person enter Islam or no? Maybe he will enter Islam, Allah Alam. I'm just saying that if, imagine this, that in this situation, that someone from the outside is watching and saying, all right, I'm going to decide to enter Islam or not to enter Islam, depending on the behavior of this person, to see how important Allah is to him. Because he is already a Muslim, and if Allah is not important to him, then why should I enter Islam? For what? Supposing a person is watching, what will they see and what decision will they come to? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to him and to help us to realize the importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to demonstrate that importance in our behavior. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ اللَّهِ.